this of. I go to prepare a place for you. That's one of the greatest promises I ever read. And if I go, I will come again and receive you. In 1969, one of the preachingest men I ever heard, I mentioned him this morning, Brother F.L. Ray, and I were holding a revival out here at Butler's Chapel. And there was an old gentleman that belonged at Pleasant Hill by the name of Garvin Clark. He asked us to come to his home to eat one evening, and we did. And after we'd filled up good, we were sitting out under a big shade tree in his yard. There was an old gentleman pulled up in his pickup truck. His name was Noah Jordan. Some of you all, I'm sure, knew him. After his wife passed, I think he and his daughter lived together out on the road here for a good while. Well, he came up, and his nickname was But Though, because every time he'd say something, he'd say But Though, and then he'd say a little more. He had won the Benton County Prize watermelon that year. The biggest and, supposed to have been the best. Well, he was telling us about it. And he said, now y'all may not even believe that. He said, if this boy here, he pointed to me, he said, if this boy go with me over there, we'll get it and bring it over here and cut it and eat it. And I said, let's go. So we went, and I think it weighed probably 100 pounds or better. It's the biggest watermelon I ever saw. And I was able to handle it that day. We went back over there and we cut it. And I think it was the worst watermelon I ever tasted. It wasn't worth cutting. I don't know. It had gotten overripe, if that's possible. This evening, you know, there are three abiding graces that I want us to be reminded of. Faith, hope, and charity. And we have to put them in that order. What is faith? Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is an exercise of the heart wrought by the Holy Spirit to cast our lot all to God. Totally. We become dependent upon God before we can be saved. You can't hold on to this life and reach out to God for eternal life. It just won't work. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Again, Paul, Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith. There are two kinds of faith. There is a faith that's a verb, and that's the one I've been talking about. We exercise faith. We have faith. It's a belief. It's a strong belief. And then there's the faith that is a system of doctrine, which we read about in the Scriptures. Contend for the faith, a noun, which was delivered unto the saints of God. So we are to contend for the oracles of God, the doctrines of God, the Word of God, in faith with all of our hearts, trusting Him to accomplish the work through human means. Human instrumentality has been used by God for centuries, from the very beginning. Now, God preached His own, the first. He was the first one to ever preach. He walked in the Garden of Eden. He came walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And after Adam and Eve had sinned, He said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was so ashamed. Why was he ashamed? Because he knew what he'd done. He knew he was guilty. He knew he stood before God without excuse or defense, helpless and hopeless of eternal life without God's intervention. Well, God did provide for him. We read that in the third chapter. And God placed at the east end of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way in order to keep the way of the tree of life. I thank God today for the church of the living God, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to still continue that gospel message to nations around the world, that men, women, boys, and girls can hear the same gospel we heard and believe it to be the truth and then act upon it in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful message it is. What a glorious opportunity we still have, even in the midst of this pandemic. Brother Stapleton and I were speaking this afternoon, and I said, "Preacher, things could be a lot worse than they are right now." And in fact, according to the lesson that I read, and if I'd read further, you would have heard it's going to get worse and worse. And then it's going to be well with our souls, because one day the Father will turn to His Son, who is seated right now at His right hand. Somebody said, "How do you know that?" I said, "Well, I read a little Bible, and it says that He is at the right hand of the throne of God." Paul tells us that. And so we know that when He turns to Him and says, "It's enough. It's enough." There has been such sin, such neglect, such denial of God and the truth and the message of the gospel that they're not even hearing anymore, much less believing anymore. So I'm calling a halt to the time. It's over with. And I want you to take all of these saints whose spirits have arrived here from there and all of the holy angels of God. I want you to take them and go back, and I want you to get my people. I want you to bring those in the grave out, and those that are alive, they'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Listen, folks, I believe in heaven as much as I believe in Crossroad Church. I believe Jesus will come back as much as I believe we came to church tonight. He said He would, and the first time God said He would, He did. And He says He's coming back, and I believe that. Some of them said, "Well, He hadn't come. He said He's coming." But He didn't say when. He won't come until it's the fullness of the right time for the end. He didn't come the first time until it was in the fullness of time for Him to come, and God sent Him then. Faith. We need to have faith every day. You know, people have troubles and trials, and they have disagreements. We've had a lot of disagreement about what to do with COVID-19, how to act and how to prevent getting it spreading, and whether to start the schools back, open up businesses, have church services or whatever. We've talked about it at length. We've talked about precautions we might take, this, that, and the other. And I've got children that are raising children, and they'll call and want some advice. And I say, "No, now, I think you probably just need to work through that for yourself." Because no two children are alike. They're all different. And we used to tease Julie when she was growing up. She wanted to be right so much. And I would say sometimes to her, I'd say, "You know," when she'd be wrong, I said, "Julie, you know, you never have been wrong but one time." And we found out later you really weren't wrong then. And that pleased her because she wanted to be right. Faith. Faith in God. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in God accomplishing His purpose. Faith that He will carry out His promises. "Oh, my God shall supply all your need." That's one of Miss Wilma's favorite scriptures. Philippians 4, verse 19. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." But we must have faith. We want to put our faith in the doctors, the scientists, the political leaders. We shouldn't look to them first. We should look to God first every time. We ought to trust Him. He's in control of them. He can enable and instruct them to do the right things. So faith, and then hope. Well, this hope that's anchored yonder within the veil, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Christ Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, who was Melchizedek? This morning we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar saying he saw a fourth, like unto the Son of God, walking in the fiery furnace. Well, we know that Jesus had not taken a body yet. He was still as the Word in heaven. Well, who is this Melchizedek? There's no record of him, no beginning of his days, nor end of his life. So who was he? I think he was the same as the one that we mentioned this morning in the fiery furnace, another manifestation of Jesus Christ. God had a purpose, it has a purpose in everything that he does. And everything he does harmonizes and it ties together. The Old Testament, folks, was a preview and a way of telling us what's going to happen in the New Testament times. And the New Testament today, the words there are true and faithful, and they back up everything that God had said would happen and is happening now. You know, we put our hope so many times in the wrong place. And we shouldn't do that. Hope. Oh, Lord, my hope is in thee. Who said that? David. David. He said it a long time ago. Yeah, this hope. We have to trust in God and have hope in him. And we can. We can. When I lay down at night, the last thing I do is pray for everyone that I can think of, that I believe needs prayer. And my list is added to, and one night I was laying in bed and Judy said, "Are you sleepy?" And I said, "Not yet. I hadn't got my prayer finished." She said, "Can you tell me who all you're praying for?" And I said, "Yes, I can." Well, I went over the list. It didn't take but about 5 minutes. And name after name after name. And I do that every night and in the same order. I start with Millie, Maggie, and Ava, the three granddaughters, because I realize how much they need God's help in growing up. And then their parents. And then the extended family of mine and Judy's. And even the extended families of the in-laws, our son-in-law and our daughter-in-law. And then the churches. This church and your pastor is mentioned every night in my prayers. Huntington Church and Brother Stapleton is mentioned every night in my prayers. Brother Ray Smith and his wife and his family are mentioned every night in my prayers. He's the oldest deacon I know. And I've been a friend since 60 or 61 is when we met at his dealership. I was in town auditing for Commerce Union Bank at that time. And then the list goes on and on because I want God to help them. I believe in prayer. I believe that God will help us if we'll ask him. But he said, "You have not because you ask not." And so many times we don't ask. I pray for the leaders of our nation. I try to pray for the doctors and the nurses and all of the caregivers wherever they are. And I pray for every nation around the world. Oh, no, there's many heathen nations, but I'd love for every person on earth to get saved and live with God in heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, I wish we could have a revival that would sweep America from one coast to the other and from the north to the south, and that everybody would just stop what they're doing long enough to humble themselves, get on their knees and say, "Oh, God, have mercy upon us." And in faith, believing, receive that hope that's anchored yonder within the veil. Oh, what a wonderful and glorious thing it would be. You know, I guess the next one of those abiding graces is love. One of the greatest sermons I ever heard, the title of it was "The Love of God." One of my favorite songs is titled "The Love of God." God's love is beyond the love of any kind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, what love. The love of God. It passes all the understanding that we have. Folks, I remember a time when we loved each other more than we do now. I remember when families loved one another a lot more than they do now. But Jesus said while he was on earth that in the latter days the love of many would wax cold. And it's waxing colder and colder by the day. We have so many people that only care for self. Just self. Even parents sometimes neglect their children because they're preoccupied with themselves. And that's horrible. That's horrible. My mother, if it turned cold during the night, I can still feel her putting a blanket over me in the night. Why did she do that? Because she loved me more than she loved herself. And she didn't mind losing some sleep in order to take care of one that she'd brought into the world. If every mother and father was a child of God and practicing their religion in one of the Lord's churches and taking their children there to hear the gospel story, oh, what a difference it would make in this world. We would see faith, hope, and charity, these abiding graces. We would see them being exalted from shore to shore, from sea to sea. Oh, yes. On and on and on. Yes. Love. Love. How much do you love God? How much do I love God? What sacrifice would I make for God? John the Baptist, he gave his head and he never complained about it. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul gave his head and he never complained. He thanked God. And we cry and we moan and we've become just kind of wimps because we're so weak and we can't stand things. We don't work like we used to. People used to be strong because they farmed and they used their muscles. But nowadays, most folks, about all they use is their feet, hands, and eyes. They use their feet to go get some food to put in their hand to eat, and they use their eyes to watch television. And that's about what most of people are doing today. And so the rest of the muscles are being neglected. We don't use our spiritual strength and muscles like we ought to. If we did, we'd have more faith. We'd appreciate the hope better. And we'd have a far greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, one of the sweetest things I ever heard of, this happened 30 or 40 years ago. I've told it probably as much as any one event that I've heard about. There were two brothers, probably 4 or 5 years difference in their ages, that were ice skating on a frozen lake up in Minnesota many years ago. Well, the older boy went across a spot that had thawed, and immediately he went under the ice. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but the odds of someone that goes in the water from just a hole like this, the odds of them popping back up at that hole are very slim. Very slim. And here's the younger brother. And the older brother is larger. Well, by God's grace, the older brother popped up at the very same place where he had gone in. And that younger brother, as wet and heavy as his older brother was, managed to get him out of the water and back up on top of the ice. And when the reporters found out about it, They asked him, said, wasn't your brother very heavy? Said, wasn't he very heavy? He said, no, he was my brother. That makes all the difference. See, if we think about what we're doing this for God. I'm not doing this for me. Lord, folks, if I was preaching for me, I'd have never started. If I was preaching for people, I'd have quit a long time ago. But God called me to preach for him, and there is no quit. You preach until he says it's over. And he'll let me know that, or one way or the other, either through me or through the people. Faith, how much do we have? Hope, my hope is in him. He's coming back. I don't know when. The beginning of sorrows, we're seeing that now. Everything that's happening. We had a hurricane on land. Did you all hear about that? A few weeks ago, that's right. There were hurricane winds that came across Iowa, and I've forgotten Kansas and some of the countries, states there. And that had never happened, never been recorded in our history. And then we got the wildfires. They've already exceeded in numbers of acres burned more than ever before. I think it's beyond 4 million acres now at this point. We've had tsunamis. When I was going to school, I never heard of a tsunami. Didn't know what it was. Didn't think about it. There have been famines. Look at the starving people around the world. We got people starving to death in America. Can you believe that? In the land of plenty. And then some of the nations countries around the world, they're dying by the thousands. And the earthquakes are still happening. And the pestilences. And what we're in now, the pandemic, is a pestilence. And it's here. And like some have said, it's here to stay. We just have to treat the symptoms and try to move through it the very best we can. That's all we can do. But these things are happening in divers places right now, around the world, tonight. And the sad thing is, and I don't want to be an alarmist. I don't want to say something that's going to scare children, but I don't see too many here tonight anyway. We have to face the facts of what's true. Things are not going to get better worldwide. They're going to get worse. And we need to prepare for the worst and pray for the best and do everything we can to see that the family circle is unbroken when the time comes to leave. I had a call yesterday morning before I left. I stayed at our little cabin last night, and before I left, this lady called yesterday morning from Kentucky, and she said, my son is near death, and he wants you to come and do his funeral service. He said you married him and his wife in 1971. That was 49 years ago. Would you come and do his service? I said, yes, ma'am. I sure will. If I'm able to get there, I'll be there. Death is happening every day. Some people don't know. They don't know the news. But Nashville is a hot spot, or has been, for this virus. And we've had an average probably of between 100 and 150 new cases every day for months. And we've had deaths practically every day. Davidson County and Shelby County are the two with the most of any counties in the state. Of course, they have greater populations. But I just spoke with a fellow called me this afternoon from the church in Murfreesboro, and he said, please pray for my wife's stepfather. He had shoulder surgery 2 weeks ago, and he had to go to a place for rehabilitation, and while he was there, he got the virus. And he's in Vanderbilt Hospital now fighting for his life. So it's real, everything is. It's getting, it's right here. Everything's right here. We're not learning anything. But what we have to do is accept what God told us is going to happen and deal with it with his help. We're not in this fight alone. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember that. Faith, hope, and charity. And you know what he said? And the greatest of these is what? Charity or love. I love this church. And I have felt the love of this church for me. And I pray that you all will have some of the best days you've ever had before things do get worse. And I think there can be some hot spots for God around the globe when people work and pray and leave it in the hands of the Lord. Yeah, that's all we can do. Thank you for hearing me. This is my little message for tonight. Anybody have anything you want to say? Thank you. Thank you, Brother Cole. Oh, yeah.